I knew that there was opportunity there that I could rebuild again on relationships that I've had in the past. That process, however, has been very interesting because I haven't actually created referral relationships with all of them. I found that some of them have changed and head in a direction that's not really in line with what I want to do with active agents, but there are still quite a few that are, and I've made some new ones. So I wanted to really go back in and heavy on that referral side because from my traditional experience, that worked.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Tara Bradbury has over the last 16 years been someone who has immensely raised the profile and status of the role of business development manager. Her major accomplishments have included successfully securing an incredible 268 listings in one financial year and signing 30 new rental listings in just 1 month. She's also the founder of the BDM Academy, a training group many of the top BDMs have used around the nation. This year, with more family and less travel a priority, she started her own property management only business in her hometown of Hervey Bay, using new tech available right now, and this business is completely paperless. In this podcast, we talk about how Tara is setting up from scratch, how she is marketing her new business, the little things that have really counted in growing her rent roll from zero, and how she is now managing BDM Academy, active agents, and family life. And we didn't even get around to this podcast in talking about the fact that her PM business doesn't have a trust account, but that could be another chat coming up in the future. As those of you know, with Tara, she is incredibly generous in her knowledge, and there are tons of practical and actionable tips that you're going to want to make notes on. But may we suggest that you enjoy the listen, and when you're done with that, head to eliteagentelevate.com. and download our notes to save you a bit of time, or you could go paperless like Tara and read them on the screen. If you need to catch up on any of our podcasts, you can also sign up to our traditional newsletter extra while you're there, and we will send you each and every month all the good stuff, all the tips from all of our podcast guests, which generally amount to hundreds and hundreds of ideas and light bulb moments, which can help you take your business to the next level. That's it from me. Go to eliteagent.com/extra. And now on with the show. So welcome to the podcast, Tara Bradbury.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
It's awesome to catch up with you again. It's been a while since we've caught up face to face. You've done a heap of things over the last 6 months, I think, Was it Christmas? So first of all, how have you been?
Yeah, great. Great. It's probably been pretty obvious on social media, the travels reduced quite significantly. So been able to have a bit more time at home and still working with coaching clients online and remotely, but was just ready for that change. It's my sixth year of having the BDM Academy in operation. So it's probably not surprising to many that, you know, you get itchy feet and think, okay, well, what's the next direction for this business or what's the next direction for me?
Yeah, so the exciting thing for you, just in case people aren't aware, is that you actually started a new rent roll of your own.
Yes.
Up in Hervey Bay.
Yes. Yeah.
So you just referenced the fact that you were traveling a lot and you wanted to stay at home more because you've got a couple of kids, but how's it been going back on the tools?
I think for me, if I could use one word, it's that I'm so much more curious compared to what I was when I was previously working back in the industry. And I feel the reason for that is that I have got to muck around with them on a level as a trainer. And it's easy then to say, look, I can see what this can do. So that's what you should do. And now it's great because I just feel like there's no excuses for anybody out there. And, you know, being back on the tools again, there are still the same problems. There are still times when technology can fail us. And I actually still don't believe that there's one perfect program out there. But the reason for that is because property management is just changing faster than they can keep up with, in my opinion. So what we have now is really impressive compared to when I was involved in the industry 6 to 7 years ago. And that excited me, you know, to see that you have the ability to create, and because the BDM Academy was online, I had the ability to do the same thing with a property management business. So there's lots of different steps that got me to releasing active agents. It certainly wasn't an overnight idea, probably 12 to 18 months of different discussions and things that came together with it. But it's just the best year to do it, I think, for anyone that's also out there listening, doing a startup. There's just so much opportunity.
Yeah. So tell us a bit more about active agents, because I'm sure there's, I mean, always there are people listening in at the moment that are thinking, you know, I want to start my own business or, and particularly at the moment in property management, like it's a bit of a model, isn't it? That you can be a property manager, you can be anywhere in the world, for example, and start a business. So talk me through a little bit of the thinking when you started Active Agents and what sort of a model you're using and why.
The first thing I was thinking about was that I received an award in our area for the BDM Academy as an online business. And then I continued to connect with others in the area that were finalists in that award and were doing similar things. And I just thought, geez, it's really time that we could really test and see if you can do that in property management. And that's when I just decided that it's something that I can do. And then I had to kind of really refine the model down. And one of the problems at the moment is that we do have a lot of great tech that's out there, and a lot of it's all cloud-based now. So to a point, there was a point of difference there, and there certainly is, but it couldn't just be all about that, because I'm in a demographic where, you know, it's sometimes joked around, I hope this is appropriate for podcast, but newlyweds and nearly deads. So we have quite a diverse demographic where we've got a lot of wealth in our retirees here in the area. And there are a lot of young professional business people like myself, super successful, and they also have investment properties as well. And I still remember back to when I was growing up with my parents, and it was always, if you're going to buy an investment property, buy on the Fraser Coast so you can see it. You know, it's a very traditional feedback that you were getting, and that's kind of passed on through my generation still. So I knew that there was opportunity there, that I could rebuild again on relationships that I've had in the past. That process, however, has been very interesting, because I haven't actually created referral relationships with all of them. I found that some of them have changed and headed in a direction that's not really in line with what I want to do with active agents, but there are still quite a few that are, and I've made some new ones. So I wanted to really go back in heavy on that referral side, because from my traditional experience that worked, and focus, I mean, it's basically obvious in my B package and what I've developed in presentation for our marketing and web presence, is that we haven't really had anyone effectively push the executive property investment market here in Hervey Bay, which probably seems quite bizarre when we're, you know, just over 65,000 in population. But when you look online, you can consistently see that my properties for us in our top end, it's can go up to as high as 600. They're the properties that I'm focusing on and renting within under 3 to 5 days at the moment. To be fair, we do have a fantastic vacancy rate, but I saw that that was my main focus on the niche in the beginning, was to present myself that way in the marketplace and show them how the marketing can be done so they can stand out.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So you've kind of niched yourself into an area so that your marketing messages don't have to appeal to the masses. So you're definitely targeting a certain demographic. Mm-hmm. Has that made marketing your business and getting you more well-known easier?
It has and it hasn't, because I very easily get excited by ideas, Sam, and I go, oh, yes, we'll just put that out on Facebook and we'll go, go, go. And my husband's, he's a bit more realistic, I guess, and we'll look and go, I love that idea, but let's not do that right now. We'll hold on to it and we'll reassess. So his help's been fantastic with that, because he, to be fair, he probably understands Hervey Bay specifically better than I do. Even though I've lived here, he's worked with his client base since he was out of high school as well. So he's had that ongoing involvement. And I think that that's helped in the way of what we're doing with the marketing. And it was hard in the beginning, because there were properties that I missed out on. For us, the fees that we have been charging, we're getting those fees. I'm not negotiating. I'm not willing to negotiate. And I'm really adamant on that now. I went through many moments, like most business owners do, where you think, I've got to grow, I've got to grow. And I'm feeling like I'm at a stage now where there's still moments of ups and downs, but overall, I know the market I want to target and the people that are involved in that market. And if I have to wait, and if it takes a little bit longer to get growth where I want to, it'll keep coming in where I need it to. And that's where I'm finding it's that consistent wave of, you know, there's a week of I'm not getting anything and I'm pushing with my calls. And then next week I've got three listings and then two entry condition reports and I'm trying to scrape in time and happen to have to go to Adelaide like I just did last Friday for the trading side. So it's still the same.
Yeah.
Still uncertainty. And for marketing, just really testing, especially on social media, just testing all the time.
Yeah, so I was going to say to you, what has been most successful? Because, you know, again, people will be listening who are thinking about starting up their own business. So if you're going from, you know, scratch,
yeah,
what are the marketing methods that you think are best?
Yes.
Now that you've tested them.
I have. And some of them have really kind of taken off more than I had anticipated. One in particular that I had to turn my notifications off because it was so disruptive. That particular day was a post that we did about how Harvey Bay are you? And I got the idea when I was over at the Perth event for RETG where I saw a radio station that did it and I screenshot it to Shane and I sent it to him and I said, oh, we should do this for Harvey Bay because everyone will love it. And I knew it would be popular. And we gained over 10,000, I think it got close to 12,000 in reach. We had businesses that were connected with some of those posts that shared it on their profiles and then they had, you know, up to 40 shares on some of them. And it made me realize very quickly that I've understood my market really well. That's not going to work for everybody that's, you know, out there. I don't feel it would probably work in the inner city. It may or may not. I guess it depends on who's following you. But I think that worked really well for the following that we have picked up on. And what I recognize very quickly then is that we also have a very strong tenant following. So we've been presenting our properties to market first on social media, which I have seen other real estate businesses do that. So I certainly can't take the claim to fame. I think Lisa Novak, as an example, might be one I've seen her doing in sales. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm going to do in rentals now too. Let's go. And because I'm doing the virtual tours, I then have four particular photos, virtual tour. We put that on there first. And then I've now started to build up a really good tenant database. So I tenant match them. And one in particular this morning, where we still haven't released that property to the property portals yet, I've got two that are ready to inspect it before we even get to that stage because we still got a 3-week gap before it becomes available. So where the investors have the ability to, I'm encouraging them to test that and they're loving it and getting great responses.
Yeah, wow. So, sorry, just to circle back there.
I've got to do two other things,
yeah. Yeah. So how Harvey Bay are you? Yeah. Is that like a quiz or something like that? So I've heard about these quizzes going kind of viral. So that's what you did.
Yeah, and I've got a few more. So feel free to watch this space if you want to see the next few that are coming out. We'll see if they're just as popular. But we basically picked, I think it was 21 key things that were relevant to those who have lived in Harvey Bay. Now, my husband Shane's one of very few that was born in the Point Vernon Hospital. So he had that listed on there, were you born in the Point Vernon Hospital? Have you walked the pier? Have you been whale watching? Have you gone to Fraser Island? So that they were reasonable ones to get. And then there was just silly ones of, do you get frustrated driving from Payalba to Torquay, which is really nothing, but people complain about it all the time. And then some that were a bit more strategic as well, that, you know, you would have really had to have been here for the last 30, 20, 50 years. So that, yeah, there were some really cool things on there. And it was just, like I said, I knew it would be popular, but I just didn't anticipate how many would get involved and just want to tell us how Harvey Bay they are with no prize to share as well. There was no prize behind that. And then it would have been a week and a half later, we did another post where we would have been lucky to have a quarter of the engagement, gave away a $100 voucher to one of our restaurants at Vineyard, and it didn't get the same response. So again, I don't mind that because it still had engagement and we did have to do a bit of a spend to push that one because it didn't get the engagement we wanted. But again, it's just all trialing and testing. So we know that particular approach just wasn't right for the followers. So then we'll go on and test the next one. I think we all think that we've got to do a big spend and we've got to put this money into it. That particular post had no incentive for anyone to share it and it just went crazy.
Yeah, I think it's a really big lesson on social media. And we found that too. When someone's really interested in something, it's a $0 spend versus, so, you know, your market must have been really, really.
They're very Harvey Bay, my market, very.
Well, yeah, I was going to say very, very, very proud to be part of that community. Yes. Like, yeah, there's probably areas on the Central Coast where I'm from that would be the same.
Yeah.
I can just see how Kingcumber are you.
Yes.
You know, did you ever go to the old church at night and scare yourself silly?
Exactly. Yes. And see, a true local knows that. So then it, and I certainly, you know, can't take the credit for it. Shane was a massive contribution to some of the things that he had listed there, but it would have been seen, hang on a minute, the people behind this brand know our area.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. Yeah. And that was the winning point.
Yeah. Interesting. And so the other thing that you said in the middle of all of that too is that you're not actually advertising on the portals initially.
Not straight up, no.
Yeah. So you're putting the property on social and then tenant matching through your database.
Yes.
So how does that work? Who does that?
So I basically will have the photos done and then do edits where required through Box Brownie and utilize them. Yep. I've done a few virtual staging where needed as well.
They're amazing.
I know,
yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to find someone to be book a photographer here. The boys know. Can't wait to hand that over. But at the moment, it's working really well. Doing the virtual tours with Tom and the team from Virtual Tours Creator. I knew straight away that I had to release that in property management here because we didn't have anyone in that space. So what that's then allowed me to do is that I can put them on social media before they hit the property portals because they can see those select four images that we put in the tile. And then it's got the content about the property as well and along with the virtual tour link included in that post. So they can have that walkthrough experience. And based on that, they can say, well, you know what? I actually really like this property. When's it available from? Because we've got such a low vacancy rate to the point of even under 1% most of the time at the moment, they can pre-apply, which I've had that happen as well, and we can have their application processing before the property is actually vacant. So it's a faster turnaround time for the investors as well. I find it's more proactive. And so then I'm, now that my CRM's built up, because obviously I started with no contacts at all, the property portals have 100% helped on that side because it's allowed me to an agent box, have them automatically go in there. And then the moment that I have a property, I can still search a price range in there. And then it brings up the list of those that are tenant matched in that price range. And then I connect with them directly. And that's where, and I wanted to do it this morning before we had our podcast as well. There was 10 that I sent out, the property that I've got coming up at Crawford Drive. I've sent that to them. And there's two of them that have responded back and said they'd like to inspect based on the virtual tour. So I'll then give them a call and follow up this afternoon and book that in and do their viewing there. And, you know, we've had one so far that's rented before going to the property portals. I still love the property portals because it gets me the exposure in my marketplace. But at the same time, if I can do it quicker, then that's a better result and a better investment for that landlord as well. They don't have to have as big a spend.
I mean, I can see why you're calling the business active agents now because it is so, like what you're describing there is just so proactive that a lot of other people just, their heads will be spinning listening to this, I imagine. Do you think it's because of the size you are at the moment that allows you to pivot and provide such personal service and move so quickly? What are your plans for growth and how will you maintain that personal touch?
Yeah, look, my target I've set, I should be ready by Christmas time for a team member for two reasons. One, I just think you push yourself harder when you've got that person to work alongside with, that you've just made that investment and gone, right, you're with me full time, let's go, we'll keep the growth happening. Beyond that, gosh, I think I can really push the numbers as high as possible. You know, a lot of the programs that I'm using and testing and, you know, as I mentioned before, being curious with have allowed me now to, you know, create a process that's really systemized and protection for the investor, but a great opportunity for all of those people across that experience, being the landlord, tenant and tradesperson. So when I do secure the tenant and I confirm and send the response back to say your property is approved, I'm onto it with their tenancy agreement, all of the attachments that are required, and that goes out to them via DocuSign. And they can sign that up prior. And I go through that process with them from wherever I am. So if I happen to be in between appointments, I've got the ability to go through that with them while I'm doing that. And then for me, because I am mobile and I'm working from the home office, I open up the home for them on moving day and I spend that time with them on the property versus having them come and meet me, whether it be at home or at a coffee shop. And I'm finding that's working really well too because they're ready to move in. They want the keys. They kind of, you know, want to get started and settled. And then I have the tenancy handbook that I go through. And then they're all set up. They've already paid their 2 weeks rent, their bond's all sorted. And they're ready to go.
Well, I remember the days when you had to go to the real estate to pick up the keys. And
yes.
So you flipped that on its head as well.
Yeah. So that's an extra service offering that, again, I know it's getting talked about around town. So I'm wanting to keep doing those things that allow that conversation to keep happening. And I think the thing that excites me so much about what I'm doing now is that I had quite a few of, you know, different agents that I talked to, not just in Hervey Bay, but across other regional locations. And they said, oh, you'll never get them to fill in an online application. And I just don't offer it. Like, I'm probably fortunate that we're in a market that is quite buoyant and moving, but I will basically send them the message on the phone or show them how to log in and set up that process for them and show them how easy it is. So I think, again, it's about if you want your clients to use the technology and embrace it at the same level that you do, then you have to be prepared to do short-term pain, long-term gain, because you will get the long-term gain out of them. And I have them all registering the maintenance through the back end of the program. The communication behind it's fantastic and it's simple. And they're registering maintenance. And I challenge and I ask other agents out there to feel free to share that feedback as well as part of the podcast. The tenants are registering maintenance in the evening because that's when they're remembering to do it. They don't have time to think about it during the day. So I don't want them to run the risk of trying to get me on the phone and then not, because it's too late for them in the evening and then I don't lodge that maintenance. So I'm finding that a lot of the stuff comes during the evening.
Yeah, interesting. So you're really sort of setting it up so you've got the tenants at the forefront of your service equation so that then they're going to feel like they're happy that they've been looked after and then the cycle then continues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So CRMs, you just mentioned that you started with zero.
Zero contacts, yes.
Zero contacts, nice fresh database.
Yeah.
Look, somebody with, you know, 10,000 contacts might be thinking, damn, I wish I could go back to zero contacts and set this up well.
Yes.
I know we've probably all been there at one point or another.
Yeah.
So what's your advice on setting up a database from scratch? Like, how do you think is the most efficient way to get data in there so that you can get what you need out of there?
Yeah. So for me, my primary focus was to make sure I did my launch in three stages. And the reason for that was to try and balance out my time between active agents and real estate training group and BDM Academy. And after last Friday, it's allowed me to go into stage three, which is very exciting. So in the very beginning, it was just getting the message out there. And I went to as many networking events and opportunities that I could, and then kind of again gauged and decided on where my best value of investment of my time is. I'm probably more savage with that now than what I was when I was an active BDM. And I guess the main thing I put that around to is now that I have a family. So I have the two daughters and husband that I think, well, I can't be out every night. But I'm very selective and very heavily invested in that time for those groups that I'm involved in. So that's the first section. I easily, in that first month, which was the month of June, we released, at, I think it was end of April, and then May things were happening, and then June was kind of the real go, let's get it out there now properly. Every single week there would have been two meetings a day across 5 days a week and then potentially stuff on the weekend. The amount of coffee that I drank was nuts, and that was from builders to developers to project managers to engineers, florists, just general people in my community, anyone that wanted to listen or hear about what I had to offer. And to be fair, if there was someone that I had met once before or knew of, I went and connected with them and just shared, whether it be share a business card or just said, just wanted to update you with what I'm doing. Tradespeople, that was actually another really successful post that we did, where we put a post out to say we're looking for tradespeople. So we had the community then going in and tagging trades to connect with me. So I filtered then through those first, and then I'm still now coming across things where I think, oh, I need an air conditioning company or I need a locksmith, like people that I need along the way. I'm starting to still reconnect with other tradespeople. So I'm just constantly not panicking about the fact in the beginning of how much new business that I was signing. It was more about making sure it's designed effectively to take on the growth when it starts pumping in, because I feel the growth is steady now. But I, with the work that I'm doing at the moment, I can say January 2020, it's just going to continue to go gangbusters with the build-up that I've had of people getting reviews done, not quite ready to make that change yet. So then they're just sitting there in my database to keep connecting with. So I would suggest that anyone that's starting from completely from zero, you will feel massive pain and frustration for that first 2 months very easily, and you just have to keep pushing through it. And just keep telling everyone what you're doing, because you'll be surprised about the people who will come back to you and say, oh, Tara's now doing this again, or, you know, is doing real estate now. You just have to talk to everyone possible, to the point where I've recently changed gyms and I've been talking with some of the other people in my class there. And basically one of the ladies has come up to me and she needs to buy a unit. Now, I'm not selling property, but my referral partners do. So that's been a great opportunity. So I still put myself out there as a real estate agent, and primarily it's advertised purely property management. But anything that you want to talk about real estate, come to me and I'll put you in front of the right person. And that message is going really well. And it allows me to feel, I guess, more confident because I am getting referrals in that I've got something to give back to them. And that's been good too.
Yeah. So you've almost become like a human search engine, if you like. So instead of people trying to find stuff on Google or whatever, it's like come to Tara, and that way you get to build relationships. So even if it's not about you, it could be about you in the future because they'll remember that.
Yes. And it's still Tara Real Estate. I mean, active agents is there and people are getting it, but it's, you know, everyone still needs to realize it's a person, it's person to person experience. It's that relationship that withstands. And as the team gets bigger, I get that team members will have that same relationship with certain people that I may not. And it doesn't scare me. I need to really empower that and continue to encourage that and find ways to keep that motivation going with them.
That's interesting that you say that, because we've had a lot of conversations on the podcast lately about the human connection in real estate, and property management does seem to be a place where things are evolving very rapidly into you're either an online kind of outfit or you are dealing with humans and it's more of a high-end experience. How do you see that all playing out in the future? Have you got any ideas on where that will go?
If I use an example, and I know it's not as popular in Queensland at the moment, you know, with our rental applications, there are quite a few that we can choose out there for processing. So then obviously it means that we can have complete automation from the point of when they apply for the property, references are being processed. I'm personally using tenant options at the moment alongside OneForm and using both of them. And behind the scenes, it's doing all that work for you. And you even have the, you know, point to the ability of, I had six applications on one property, the one person that was approved. So I've called to get them, you know, confirmed and approved and everything. And then I've got these five other people there that I've thought, I just, my heart broke. Like, I can't just send them a text message. I can't just send them an email. So I've called all them individually and taken that time. And it wasn't very long just to say, look, I'm really sorry that you have missed out. Can you just please go through your requirements again? Because I know that this was an important decision for you. And they were just blown away by the fact that I gave them, and for some of them, it wasn't even over 60 seconds of their time. Now, I know that for a few of them, they've gone and found other properties. But if we don't do this as agents in the industry and we just let the tech keep doing the work, then absolutely, we'll let all the private investor websites take us over. And that's a choice then as an industry we're making to do. But I'm choosing to allow the technology to allow me to be more efficient in what I do and effective and not miss those things that I know my personality would miss if I was in control of that entire process. And use the strengths that I do have to communicate. And that's the risk that I see in the industry. If you are someone that is still finding yourself in the office and hiding behind that screen and not picking up the phone, then you are going to do yourself out of a career in property management. But I certainly won't be in my lifetime that I plan to be in it. And who knows? Who knows when that's too? I'm 16 years in now, so I'll wait and see how that goes.
God, 16 years, that's amazing. Okay, so let's talk a few tactics now, like some actionable stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so at the moment with a startup, what does your day look like? How are you structuring your day to make sure that you remain productive?
Yes, I hit the phones straight away in the morning, whether it be that mum's come to do pick up and she's off doing adventures today with the girls, or if it's drop off to daycare and kindy. I will have at least two or three people that I know that I need to call, and I start making those calls before I go in too heavy with the emails. And I find that that, for me, allows me to be, I guess, more productive with my communication during the day. Otherwise, it's really easy to just get stuck and stay trapped in the office and get distracted by doing things, whether it be searching online for opportunities. It's very easy to get stuck in that space. I always try and make sure that I have a referral partner meeting booked, whether it be that I'm just going in to catch up to say hi and take them in a cup of coffee, or if I'm meeting up with them. I'm still mucking around with my set expectations of KPIs for new business. And that's just for me, mainly because of the balance of a few businesses. But ultimately, it's always on top of mind for me. It's always the biggest fear of what more could I be doing, because I do expect that other businesses in my marketplace are already researching and trying to find different ways to be different. So I have to continue to develop that. And the stuff that you see now in 4 to 6 weeks' time will continue to change with what we have projected of offerings. So I think you need to be as competitive as possible to the point where you know your plan of attack, you're aware of what's happening out there. But I was sitting in a Lee Woodward session recently where he was talking about the traditional way of, you know, real estate agents looking through the newspaper and seeing what their competitors had for sale. I get that they're there. I'm not stalking them, but I watch to see what they're doing so I know what I'm up against, but I don't give it too much time. And I think that that's lost time for many property managers, and especially BDMs, in an area they need to be careful of. So if you're not connecting first up and then consistently throughout the day with just people in general, I called 37 builders and have built relationships with three of them. And you know what? I did not have one of them yell at me on the phone or tell me, no, I didn't wish to talk to you. I went in with the conversation to say who I was, that I've started a property management business in Hervey Bay, and just wanted to see if you found over the last 12 months that you've had a high level of investors purchasing through you for the builds that you've been doing. So it was just a question of experience. And there were so many of them that wasn't the path that they were going down, but the ones that I found, it was well worth it. Now, those calls took me at least half a day to get through all of them by the time I researched everything. So don't expect that it's going to be a quick fix answer and you're going to have everything that you need at your fingertips. You've got to look and go, what was my time investment for the day? And if it's not connections, especially around a startup business, if it's not face-to-face and over the phone, then you've got a big problem.
What about technology at the moment? Like, what are your three favorite productivity tools?
Productivity tools?
Yeah, what's on your phone at the moment that you're loving, for example?
I do most of my property management on the phone now, or through my iPad. So I use Managed, and that's basically everything that I connect into that is what I'm using as my main hub for property management. I'm also using Inspection Express, so they're on my phone as well. Agent Box is an app on my phone, and Tenant Options, which, to be honest, you know, I think that a lot of these things that I'm using, I encourage my competitors to think about using as well, because there's no point in staying. There's a mixture of offices in our area that are still server-based. They really need to think about changing into the cloud and not be as fearful of that. So they're ones that I'm very, you know, vocal about, I promote and that I use, and they allow me to be on the road and be effective and not, I think that was the thing that I'm enjoying most now. And I know that being a complete, you know, role of property manager isn't my longer journey as such, because I love working on the projects. I love doing the new business and that referral work. So I will be certainly adapting that. And I've made that very clear to my clients that have come on board. But I feel now that being on the road and having the ability across those apps of what I'm using to just be accessible to them, and I'll sit outside the property sometimes and I'm there 15 minutes early for an appointment, I can go through and do some work. That's awesome. Like, we really do have, you know, nothing to complain about. We can continue to pass on feedback and encourage opportunities of direction because we're on the tools now. But what we have in 2019 is really impressive in property management.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. We talked about Facebook a bit, and yes, you talked about the quizzes. Is there a particular app that you use for the quizzing, or is, yeah, you know, because there's a few of those viral contest things out there? There is.
If we use Canva like everybody else, so you can do, yep, searches on there, and they bring up different activities and fun things that you can obviously change around and make relevant to your marketplace. So a lot of my marketing posts will be done through Canva. But yep, I find that for me, when I'm picking up on ideas and suggestions to have on the as postings of fun activities, I'm actually just researching through Google and then thinking, okay, what would this crossroad one look like, or what would this one look like? And then just seeing what other people have posted as well, and then just trying to create that into more of a space that's relevant to the marketplace.
Yep. So you talked about Facebook. Is there any other social media you're liking at the moment? Everyone's saying LinkedIn, yeah, is pretty good these days. So are you liking that one as well? Is that
I love LinkedIn. I feel LinkedIn at the moment, I'm confusing my followers, unfortunately, because I'll post stuff about training and then I'll post stuff about being an active real estate agent. So it's probably the one space that, for me, I don't personally feel like I've mastered effectively, but I definitely get lead generation from there, still predominantly on the training side. And probably, to be fair, I haven't probably gone in as heavily on the real estate side yet, but I think that I do agree there's definitely a huge opportunity there. I just need to master what Tara Bradbury's going to look like with both titles.
Yeah, actually, I remember some years ago that was a challenge for me, yeah, as well, like running two careers, which was pretty
but
tricky.
But Instagram's good. It's definitely not had We have over 1,500 followers. I think over 1,600 now on Facebook. And I'm not all just about the followers, but the engagement's quite good. So I'm happy with what we have there. And then on Instagram, I have, I think it's maybe 320 or 322 now on Instagram. And it's probably still one that I'm really testing still more so. And I think that for me, the main value that I get from Instagram is in the stories, because you can see who's opening the stories and the engagement continues to increase, which is really good. I think one of the highest openings that I had for the active agents business was just over 100 on one particular story post that story. I did. So I'm really happy with that when I can get that value across. And I'm still just by myself. So if you look and see videos that I'm doing on there, I'm literally using the Big VU app, which is another app that I use, teleprompter one. And I know that I heard about that through you guys with the Elite Transform program.
Feels a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago now. So I put a basic 45-second script in there. I know where that script's going to finish, do the 5-second countdown, and then just try and make sure I'm smiling at the start and at the end, and just doing quick videos of different snapshots of properties that way. And I'll continue to do that until I have that next person on board to be able to assist or potentially create a budget, obviously, around that. But at the moment, it's not perfect, but it's getting a message out there. It's fun and it's been effective and it's encouraging, not just engagement in the posts.
So the posts that you're finding are most effective on Instagram are the videos?
Yeah, I guess more effective long-term, I'm seeing. Yeah. So I'm looking and checking the engagement on them. And then I'm finding I might go back to one that was 2 weeks prior and it may have had, say, just over 100 people might have viewed the video. And then I'll look at it again and then it's over 200. So what I'm finding, I don't know if it's, you know, traditional across everyone's profiles, that people are then, when they're going to the wall, they're watching a few videos and then they're, you know, scrolling through and then taking in some more video to see what else I'm doing. I feel like I've kind of, it's always about the wall, isn't it? Making it look pretty. So now every...
the grid. Yeah, the grid.
That's always been kind of my pain point. And at the moment, I've designed basically using the same template from Facebook. I'm then putting that into Canva and you'll see a big white sticker with leased over it. And then it has a story underneath. So I don't actually share the address location with the post as such. But as an example, I had one that leased for $550 a week, a 4-bedroom property with a pool and everything. And then I've said that another property and then leased is in really big text. And then underneath that, it says to a family moving from Canberra, looking for a lifestyle change and can't wait to live in Harvey Bay. So that's what it says in the actual image. And then people can kind of follow that and go, oh, that's really exciting. And then there's been others where they've moved here for work, which, you know, I find is an interesting pain point in our area specifically, where people feel that there's not enough work in the area. So it's been quite refreshing to have quite a few tenants that have secured work here and they're moving to the area and it's bringing more people here. So I try and encourage more positivity to educate other followers. Well, this is actually happening and it's here right now.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So definitely people should check out your active agents Instagram following by the sounds of it.
And feel free to pass on feedback as well. I always love when people do so.
Yeah, cool. So look, you've shared so much with us about setting up a new business. I always love chatting to you about that sort of thing. So if there was one thing that people could remember from this podcast, whether they're setting up or whether they're in an established business, what would you want it to be?
I definitely think we talk about having passion for the industry and loving it and making sure your clients can see that. Well, you can't fool them. If you don't love it anymore, then they're going to pick up on that really quickly.
Yeah.
And I find that part of the reason I feel that every single person that I talk with and engage with can see that in me is because I am truly excited and curious about all the stuff that I'm using all the time. And I feel like I have to tell everybody about it, even to the point where I'm sure my husband is sick of when I say, oh, look, they've just done this upgrade. It's doing this now. How amazing. Now I don't have to do this step anymore. Those things really excite me. So if that was my one piece of advice, whether you're a startup or you're an established business, I can't harp on that enough, is the fact that you really need to embrace what you are using. If you're not happy with what you're using, and start to do some serious research and make that change. But if you are happy and you just don't feel you understand it, book in that session with whoever the provider is. And yes, some of them, they may charge you for that. But my gosh, it will be the best investment that you have made and you will feel more effective, your team will feel more effective, and you will be a better example within your marketplace, and your clients will see that within you and within your team as well.
Yeah, that is a problem too, is that, you know, people have all this stuff, don't they, and they just don't use it to its full advantage, and then, you know, and then it kind of goes by the wayside.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So you've just finished a series of events for property managers.
Yeah.
Will you be doing that again next year?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thank you, Sam. The answer is Casey and I are still very much in discussions as to what it will look like for 2020. The reason why is because we had a fantastic year this year, but it's time for a change in what we're doing in that space, and the market needs that change. So we want to spend this time now in the lead up to 2020 to really kind of digress and get that feedback from our attendees from this year and then also from previous years and make that decision as to what it will look like in 2020. Because for me, the traditional style, which has been effective, obviously over the, you know, last 5 years, even prior to getting the real estate training group together, needs a bit of a shake-up, and it's the same in property management as well. So you'll certainly hear from us when we have that sorted. But I can say that our Adelaide event last Friday was an absolute hoot, and we had a fantastic response from many of the offices down there. So we know it's something we want to continue. We've just got to make sure it's in balance with what we do, separate to that business being the real estate training group. And I know that people do get it and some that don't get it, but it is a huge amount of work to put together events. And it's not just taking ticket sales and then, whoop, there's an event here. There's a lot of ideas and thought processes that go around, whether it be speakers and content and competitions and all these different things that come together. So we need to then make sure that we establish our time really effectively, so it continues at the same level that we consider a high level as well.
Well, I'm sure whatever you guys do together next year will be amazing, because it always is, and you're going to have so much more to talk about as well, like having set up your own company, which I'm still in awe of the fact that you are kind of juggling both. So Tara Bradbury, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sam.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.